You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man on Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
One hint, the worst is yet to come.
In the 8 o'clock hour, we're still enjoying greatly the Tanya's Pizza over there at 13 and Crooks. You want to order a little Tanya's? You call them at 248-288-4774. Haha, you didn't bother me.
I was trying to make Steve remember the number.
Just go online, Tanya, T-A-N-I-A, tanyaspizza.com. I mean, people over there in Royal Oak swear by it. Been around for a quarter century. We have the stuffed pizza tonight. They even wrote WDFN. If you want to see what they did for the pizza pie, go to our Facebook page. It's pretty darn cool, if you ask me. They branded it. They tattooed it, Rob Parker. They tattooed your za tonight.
Very nice.
Has anybody touched those four letters? I can't see it. Tell me.
No.
No? Someone, I'm doing it.
There's five slices. No. Take the other one. It doesn't have it. Take that
slice.
What
are you going to do, save it forever?
Everybody could take a letter home tonight. I'm going to take a slice. I'll take the N.
God, you are so weird.
How's that?
You're weird. Everybody can take a letter home tonight.
There's four guys here.
I want to take the W. Well,
there's five. You can take W for Wilson.
I want to take... That's right. You could take...
Donald Sterling said I should take the N.
The D. Oh! Donald Sterling says I should take the N.
What has he done? Can you tell me?
You're pretty creative sometimes there, Chief.
Look, I'm not
pretty
creative. I'm not that bad.
Not
hey,
that bad.
Hey, come on.
That was pretty quick work.
All right, time for a sports wrap. He is the man, Mark Wilson, sponsored by Sporty Cuts. For the best haircuts in the city, go to 7 Mile Between Outer Drive and Meyer.
Jeez.
What do you want from
take it off the thing. Tigers, White Sox, no game. Obviously, we're not talking about any games. So there's no game. Postponed rain. The rain that's moving our way. They'll try it again tomorrow after 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. No makeup yet that I've seen. You would think with the three more days they could get a double dip in, but they might. Maybe on Thursday. Could still announce that. Or obviously they'll be back in Chicago, I think, two more times before the season's done. So no game. Tigers and White Sox will try it again tomorrow. The bulk of NASCAR race teams now coming into the Michigan International Speedway. Sunday is the Quicken Loans 400. The track will open 8 o'clock on Friday. Come on into the gates, people. Come on up there, US 12. Qualifications goes at 3:35 p.m. for the Sprint Cup Series. Local scores first. Sports Night with Parker Mann presented by Sporty Cuts. NBA Finals, we're about right around an hour away.
4 hours away.
Yes, as soon as Michael Wilbon and Jonah Hill finish the pregame show, Game 3 in Miami all tied at 1, Spurs and Heat. Stanley Cup could be over tomorrow. The L.A. Kings have just done a number. Two overtime wins and then a pretty convincing 3-0 shutout of the Rangers in Game 3 last night at Madison Square Garden. The first shutout of a Stanley Cup final game at MSG since 1972. It doesn't sound like an impressive a stat, but I said I'd mention it anyhow. So the Kings right there on their verge of their second cup in 3 years. Other baseball, AL, delayed by rain now in Baltimore. It's rain all over the place. No score second between the Red Sox and the Orioles, but now Baltimore is delayed by rain. Minnesota 2-0 now in the third over Toronto. Cleveland, Kansas City about to start. Two others go after 10 p.m. Interleague Series, fourth inning at Tampa. There'll be no problem down there at the Tropicana Dome. St. Louis and Tampa, no score in the fourth. Miami, Texas about to start. Arizona finished their work this afternoon with the Houston Astros winning 4-1. It's only their 12th win at home. The D-backs at Gibby are now 12-24 over there. National League, San Diego, Philadelphia 1-1 in the fourth. Cubs and Pirates tied at 2 in the fourth. Guess who hit his ninth? Andrew McCutchen.
My gosh.
McCutchen hits like one a day. He sounds like he's got 19 of them, but he's only got 9. Still a rain delay in Cincinnati for the Dodgers and the Reds. Mets lead the Brewers in the third, 2-0. Atlanta, Colorado starts in a half an hour. Washington at San Francisco begins at 10:15. Practice at Pinehurst continues tomorrow for the U.S. Open. First tee times on Thursday will be 6:45 in the morning. That is your sports wrap presented to you by Sporty Cuts. You know, you were saying something about Phil Jackson before we get into the Verlander thing and then some trash talking. The hiring of Derek Fisher. Fisher vows to get the Knicks back to a championship level where they haven't been for 40 years. Of course, he's going to say the right things. Resplendent in his suit now that he's no longer a player after all these years.
I just don't understand it. I mean, you know, I'm not knocking Derek Fisher. You know what? They're looking for new coaches. I get it. Jason Kidd had a nice run with the Nets. They had the best record in the East in the second half after January. Jason Kidd seemed to relate. He's a coach on the field, on the court. I get all that. And they look at Derek Fisher the same way. That's what they want now. These guys who were point guards who led these teams and
Steve
all that.
Kerr.
Right? I get it. Okay? Catchers for baseball and the managers, and now point guards are the new.
Well, yeah, you see Patrick Ewing says the NBA's biased against tall coaches.
Absolutely.
They don't want centers as coaches.
They don't hire those guys. Those guys never.
Patrick Ewing out and out said the NBA is biased against tall guys coaching. Who's the tallest coach of the NBA right now? Is it Pop? Pop's pretty tall. Not many. We don't have many of the big guys. There's no Bill Russell coaching in the NBA right now.
No, not since Bill Russell. I mean,
you
really
have to think about it. Like, who's the tallest coach? Like, Phil Jackson was
Phil
very
Jackson.
Tall.
Phil Jackson.
6'10 or whatever he is, 6'11.
And that was 25 years ago when he started. You know
right.
What I mean?
Would he have gotten that job
and
today?
You know what, Mark?
Would he have gotten that job today?
It took him a long time to get that job. If you remember,
yeah.
He got passed over a number of times.
Well, let's be honest.
How come Kareem never
wait,
got
wait, 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 wait. Let's be honest about the situation in Chicago anyhow. There's many of us who kind of wink, wink, nod, nod as to why Doug Collins lost that gig.
Right, we know that.
That was not just because Doug was doing a bad job. There was other stuff going on there
personal
with the Reinsdorf family and right. Whatnot. So Doug might have kept that gig. Bulls would have been successful. Phil Jackson might have never seen the light of day as a head coach.
If I'm Patrick Ewing, I'm upset. I've put in all these years as an assistant coach. I've done everything they told me, and I can't get a gig.
Well, I hate to say it like this, but you know why he can't get a gig.
Why?
He doesn't come off as
a smart guy.
Yeah,
okay.
He doesn't.
That's fine, Mark. I mean,
he went to Georgetown. He's very intelligent. I've dealt with him a couple of times just on an interview basis.
I covered Patrick Ewing. You know, I was at Newsday during that time.
But you knew exactly what I was talking about.
But I know what you were saying, and that's the way it comes across. And sometimes that's not fair. But you know what? He's put in all the work. And if I'm him, I'm devastated. I feel like all these guys are getting jobs.
Yeah, Kevin McHale's tall. McHale's tall.
Yeah,
McHale's like 6'9", isn't he? 6'10".
Yeah. Okay.
Kurt Rambis. Well, he's not currently coaching, though.
That's a couple guys. All right. But I think it's more about the point guard thing. And I see where Patrick is frustrated that he can't get an opportunity. I understand it.
Well, Derek Fisher to me, I
don't understand.
Because he lasted a long time. Well, Lindsey Hunter got that opportunity. Lindsey lasted 18 years as a player.
Another point guard.
Got a chance to be head coach.
That's what I'm saying, right. Mark. It's a trend, but this is the issue I have. I don't need to pay Phil Jackson $60 million for him to hire a guy who's never coached before. Really? And he wasn't even your first choice. It was a Steve Kerr thing. And they say that Kerr wanted 5 years and the Knicks wouldn't give it to him, but they give it to – was that really the holdup? Kerr wanted 5 years?
Nah, that wasn't the
holdup. That can't be it,
that's
Mark, right?
Come on.
That's what –
You think Phil – I don't – you know what? I don't even get it. Why would Phil want to hire a guy who already ran a club so he could be what? Questioned every time he makes a personnel move by Steve Kerr. Derek Fisher owes a debt of gratitude to Phil Jackson. He'll be a loyal scout. He'll coach the team. He won't say boo-poo about who's playing. Phil will get the players. He'll do the shopping like the old Purcell's line. And, you know, Fisher will somewhat cook the dinner. I'm assuming that he'll get a little few of these, too, from Jackson. But I never believed for a minute that Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson would work together. I just didn't see it because Steve Kerr has already been on that side of things where he had some personnel move decisions.
Yeah, but they were in Chicago together and won championships. They were supposedly really close.
Maybe they were close one time, and by the time Phil really sat down with Steve Kerr, there was some trouble in paradise.
I don't know. I think Steve Kerr pulled the...
Because that seemed like that was a done deal.
Well, that's what the way Phil was talking.
And I don't believe for a minute it's over money.
Well, I don't know because that's the talk is that Derek Fisher got a five-year, $25 million deal.
Yeah, but for the Knicks, that's just convenient. They don't need to save that. If they found a guy they really liked, they'd pay $7 or $8 million. $5 million? What difference does it make?
But my point is, why are they paying? Why are they paying Phil $60 million to hire guys like this? You're supposed to.
You know why?
Tell me.
Because two idiots in Detroit are talking about him again. The Knicks become relevant.
They're irrelevant. The Knicks are irrelevant.
Not when Phil Jackson's running.
And as soon as
guys in Detroit are talking about him.
Well, but Phil Jackson's a big-time guy. I mean, he's worth talking about. Everybody
Rob,
knows
if
Phil
this
Jackson.
Move were a year ago and there was no Phil Jackson running the show, wouldn't have given two rats royal rips.
No, I said that. It's about Phil Jackson. That's the comment. It's not about Derek Fisher.
We wouldn't care until the Knicks
named
a guy.
I'd rather talk about Carrie Fisher.
She doesn't look too good lately.
She's doing the movie, though. They got her
Yeah, they got her back in there, right? In the Star Wars thing?
Better get her to lose some weight, though.
Well, she's supposed to go through She was asked earlier, but she went through all that plastic surgery. You got to wait sometimes. Everybody wants to have plastic surgery, then be better in 2 days.
Sometimes. What has he done? Can you tell me?
I don't know. Please tell me. I have no idea. It's just amazing the deals people get and the situations and circumstances that people are hired.
Now, I don't know what the Knicks really buy with more publicity over a bad team.
Nothing. And if Carmelo Anthony bounces, I'm going to tell you, Derek Fisher or not, Mark, what do they have on that squad?
Do you know what? What did I see today? I saw someone say, gee, I sure hope Derek Fisher shows his rings to Carmelo.
Like that's going to matter. Are you kidding?
Wait a second. How remedial is this? Hey, Carmelo, look what I got. I got rings.
You know what?
Give them out when you win a title. I know you don't know that.
Liberace tried that. I think he got pimp slapped.
Hi, I'm Liberace.
Look at my rings.
I got lots of rings. Matt Damon.
Liberace.
Or whatever the guy, Scott, whatever his name was in the movie. Did you see it? Behind the candelabra?
What a great performance by
Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Off the charts.
Mark.
Off the charts.
That's acting.
When you're midway through a movie and you can't remember what Liberace looked like because you think it's Michael Douglas now.
It's like when Jamie Foxx did
Ray Charles.
Ray Charles? Mark.
He became Ray Charles.
He became Ray Charles.
To me, that's when I say hear Ray Charles, I think of Jamie Foxx's character. Yeah, right.
It was so good, yeah? Oh, it was unbelievable. And I'll give Will Smith credit, too, when he bulked up to become Muhammad Ali. He did a great job in that.
Ali was such a great personality.
But he looked like him, Mark.
Yeah, a little bit, but
he did. I'm talking about just the way he got bigger and had that look like Ali with his hair. I don't know. I just thought
that's my gauge as to whether or not you're doing a good job. If I forget what other guy looked like.
No.
Think of him as you.
The Liberace and the Ray Charles were definitely on top.
Like, nobody will ever think Travolta looked like Clinton in whatever it was called, Winning Colors or True Colors or Bill Clinton's Colors or Monica Lewinsky's Dress Colors. Speaking of Monica Lewinsky.
No, Hillary's got a new book out that just came out.
Yeah, it's called I'm Gonna Run in 16. who you think I'm fooling? I'm running in 16. You crazy? What are you, nuts? 2016. Look, have you seen the Republicans? I'm running in 2016.
I want winners.
That's right. Hey, I'm not knocking her.
We got winners here today because we got Tanya's Pizza from Royal Oak, 25 years in the biz, home of the stuffed pizza. It's awesome. You can check them at tanyaspizza.com.
And she branded the WDFN on it. It was pretty nice.
And Rob won't let me, for my second piece, and I'm showing it right now on parkerdemand.com, he won't let me take one of the letters yet.
Why can't you take a letter home with you?
I'm going to take W for Wilson.
Okay.
You're taking the Sterling number.
I'm taking N. Donald Sterling says I should take the N.
That gives us Eric or Gary, and they'll have to fight for the D and the F.
I'm trying to figure it out.
No, you're trying to come up with some funny.
Yeah, I know. Gary, you're trying. We can't
do D and F. You just have to fight over it. You three will have to fight over those two letters.
Over the D and the F. The odd man loses out.
Our number 248-848-1130. I'm going to get to the Verlander thing. A couple of things on Verlander that's kind of just surfaced a little bit. If you're not paying attention to really what's going on with JV, perfect time for it, too, because he was supposed to start tonight, and now he won't, so maybe you can listen to it.
And, Mark, you know, we also talked about
ESPN's Justin Verlander.
Yeah, I know. You know, that was funny because tonight, after his last appearance on Sunday Night Baseball, where he did two separate innings.
Big star.
I think along with his start tonight, local TV for Fox Sports Detroit, he was going to do 4 innings pitching and 4 innings on television.
So take over for Rod Allen for four. Do 4 innings on the mound, 4 innings in the booth with Mario.
Figured that they'll get something.
Makes sense.
It's paying them a lot of money. You might as well get something out of it.
Dude, you know, close up the place when you're done, too. Can you clean up when you're finished? 248-848-1130, Detroit's 1130, WDFN The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
What a pair of loons!
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130, WDFN The Fan.
Here we are at 8:26. It's time for On This Day in 1984, a look back from Comerica Bank. June 10th, 1984 was a Sunday. It was doubleheader time in Baltimore. 51,764 showed up for the two games, Orioles and Tigers. In the opener, Glenn Abbott versus Mike Boddicker. Kirk Gibson got it going with an RBI single in the first. Ken Singleton's homer off Abbott in the second tied it at one. Two runs in the third, and Detroit led 3-1. Eddie Murray, the Hall of Famer's two-run homer, tied it at three in the bottom of the third. Then the Tigers scored 7 unanswered. The big blow was an Alan Trammell bases-loaded double, scoring them all in the eighth. 10-4 was the final. Doug Bear got the win to go to 3-0. In the nightcap, it was Dan Petrie and Dennis Martinez. Peaches was brilliant. Top of the third off Martinez. Howard Johnson smacked his fourth homer of the season.
Hojo.
And a few batters later, Gibby singled in Whitaker. Gibbs, two hit. He had another RBI single later. There's your two hit. As did Tom Brookins. Petrie allowed only three tiny, measly little hits, and the Tigers shut out the Orioles 8-0. The doubleheader sweep in front of 51,000-plus in Baltimore. Detroit was 43-14, seven games up now in the AL East and on their way to Toronto. 30 years ago today, Dan Petrie was 9-3. It's presented to you every day by the good people at Comerica Bank.
Detroit weather.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Rob. It's that time. He set the meeting, Gary has. It's time for When We Want to Weather. Because you need to know. And we
all
want
right,
to do
what's
it.
Got?
Because tomorrow the rains are coming tonight after midnight. The same rain that's hitting Chicago is coming this way. It's going to be a pretty rainy day tomorrow. There might be glimpses of the sun in the afternoon or maybe later towards dusk. But we'll have some thunder showery action tomorrow and Thursday. But then bright and sunny, beautiful again for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Right time. By Sunday, it'll be 85 degrees and sunny skies currently in Metro Detroit. It's cloudy. It's feeling a little rainy, like it could be coming out there in 75 degrees. That's When We Want to Weather.
Why'd we do it now?
Because you need to know. Because the rain is a-coming, and people need to know when it's raining out there. Especially if you're going to be out and about tomorrow. So be careful as you're doing it. So here's the thing on Verlander. And again, thanks to Tanya's Pizza. T-A-N-I-A, apostrophe S, Tanya's Pizza. Check them out at tanyaspizza.com. Rob is in love with that stuffed pizza.
I'm in love with Tanya.
Tanya, there you go. Look out. Never know.
You never know.
What color panties you got on?
That's right, Tanya. What's going on?
25 years of solid action in the pizza biz. So the dealy on Verlander, okay? And I noticed this today. I just wanted to check on some stuff. Sometimes you got to refresh your memory. And I saw something on ESPN's Insider, and the headline is Verlander's Disturbing Trends. This is from a guy who's got no vested interest. He covers baseball. It's in the inside portion. If you don't even subscribe, you can't see the whole thing. And I don't, so I can't see the whole thing. But this is what he wrote, and I thought this was good. This, by the way, his name is Dan Szymborski. Do you know Dan, Rob?
No.
ESPN Insider? Okay. This is what he wrote. Sometimes you want other perspectives because yours gets cloudy after all this time. We've covered JV now for 10 years. 05. Baseball has changed a great deal in 140 years. But one thing that has always remained true is that every team, no matter the philosophy, salivates at the prospect of having a durable ace at the top of the rotation. Another thing that has always been true is that the lifespan of an ace can be maddeningly short, with a sheer drop down to mortality always beckoning, and sometimes, as in the case of Josh Johnson or Tim Lincecum, that cliff is even steeper. Add another name to this list. Detroit Tiger and now former ace Justin Verlander.
Wow.
So he's telling you, it's not coming, doesn't look like it, add him to the list. So I said this, I said, okay, why is he doing this? Why have I missed something? Have we overvalued JV in the last couple of years? And gal darn y'all, let me tell you something, people. We have. Here's a number for you. This is a critical baseball number. Justin Verlander's walk rate. You know what walk rate is, Rob? It's the walks per batters. It's the percentage of batters, all batters total. In 2011, his walk rate was 5.9, which is pretty good. I'll just tell you that's a good number. You know what his walk rate is today? 9.3.
Wow.
That's just from 2011. I started to look at his other numbers. Almost everything positive has fallen from 11, 12, 13, and now into 14. Almost everything bad that can happen to him has gone up from 11 to 12 to 13 to 14. Almost every statistic, anything you want to look at, his whip was at a stunningly brilliant 0.9 when he was winning the Cy Young Award. It's at a 1.4 now. That's what it is today. Every number.
Is it 1.4?
Yes.
Wow, that's high.
You know, whip is very simple, people. It's just walks and hits to innings pitched. Okay, right. That's all that is. It's not a magical number. It's not something technical. It's just called whip because it's a cute acronym. Walks and hits to the innings pitched. He's given up. Although the one thing I will tell you, the home runs aren't there, but there could be a reason why. if he's not as fast, they may not be jacking them as fast out. There could be a reason why for that. If they're just taking their what they're given and they're going to do gap doubles, they're taking singles line shots to left field and whatnot and picking their spots, you don't need to hit a lot of homers. And he's still giving up some. It's not like he hasn't given up any. But most of Justin Verlander's other numbers are strikingly bothersome when it comes to the good ones coming down and the bad ones going up. And before we got to do this, we'll do that. We got a sports wrap and all this, but here's what I'm putting out there for you. You're only now starting the $28 million. That's next year. There's 6 years on this contract. Five at $28 million and a vesting option at $22 in 2020. And if he makes top five Cy Young, ha ha, hearty har har, because he'll be almost 37 years old, that automatically kicks in. That's 6 years committed to Justin Verlander.
You don't have to worry about that. That's not happening.
Well, it's 5 years for sure, but it's still a vesting option in 2020. This is 2014. We're talking about 2020.
No, this is 2020.
Hey, well, look at you, John Stossel.
This is 2020.
248-848-1130. We're halfway through. We got trash talking coming up. And I know the Verlander thing is kind of getting up there a little bit in years, but boy, it's worth talking about again.
Well, Mark, what are you going to do? Are you done with Justin Verlander? What are you telling me?
But this guy who writes today another name to the list of those aces who have fallen off the cliff.
We've seen this,
Detroit Tiger and now former ace Justin Verlander. I will tell you where there's a rating that each pitcher gets as to what they should really be. Ace, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as a starter. I'm going to tell you what they think Justin Verlander should actually, his value is right now. And I think you're going to be stunned by it. Sports Night with Parker and the Man, Detroit's 1130, WDFN The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130, WDFN The Fan.
248-848-1130. We're halfway home, a little past it, in fact. We got trash talking coming up, but first let's get you caught up. What do you say about that, RP?
That's right, time for a sports wrap, sponsored by Sporty Cuts. He is the man, Mark Wilson. For the best haircuts in the city, go to 7 Mile Road between Outer Drive and Mike.
Still no makeup posted. EP just checked for that for the Tigers and White Sox. Postponed rain tonight. You would think that maybe they had a chance to do a double dip tomorrow or Thursday because both are night games, but not yet. They're probably right now scheming. Jerry Reinsdorf and his team and the umpires, they're in close quarters trying to figure out what to do. No, they're not. They went home. They're not even bothering. Postponed rain, though. No Tiger game tonight. Bulk of the NASCAR teams coming into MIS for Sunday's Quicken Loans 400. We're getting closer to the track being open for biz at MIS. Well, I remember when there used to be 4, 5, 6 race days a year, race weekends. Now there's 2. Anyhow, it's a precious one because they only have 2 of them. And track opens 8 o'clock on Friday. Qualifications Friday will go at 3:35 for the Sprint Series. There's all sorts of other race action as well, as you know. Local scores first. Sports Night with Parker DeMann, presented by Sporty Cuts. Come on already. Let's play Spurs and Heat Game 3. Tired of talking about it. It's been a whole day and a half. Tied at 1. Still got another 20, 25 minutes to wait for the tip-off in Miami. Stanley Cup Finals can be done. Be done and be gone. Tomorrow with the Kings in New York on the brink of their second cup in 3 years after the 3-0 Jonathan Quick shutout of the Henrik Lundqvist Rangers in Game 3 last night at MSG. Other baseball, American League still delayed in Baltimore at Camden Yards. No score second inning. Red Sox and the Orioles. Minnesota in the fourth now leads Toronto 4-0. Cleveland, Kansas City underway. No score early. 2 others started for 10. Interleague Series, we've gone 6 in Tampa. Still no score. Cardinals and the Rays. Miami, Texas underway. No score early there. This afternoon, Arizona beat Houston 4-1. Paul Goldschmidt is 13th homer. National League, Marlon Byrd has hit his 10th for Philadelphia. Phillies lead San Diego 4-1 in the 6th. It's in the 5th now at Pittsburgh. Cubs lead the Pirates 3-2. Still a delay starting the game for Cincinnati and the Dodgers. I would think pretty soon they either got a Fisher cut bait there. Mets over Milwaukee 2-1 in the 5th. Atlanta, Colorado just about to get cooking at Coors Field. Washington at San Francisco begins at 10:15. And if you missed it earlier, baseball and the Eastern Michigan University sports community mourning the death of Cy Young Award winner 1990, Bob Welch, at the age of 57. Welch, he is from Hazel Park. He played at Eastern Michigan, led the back then Hurons and now the Eagles to 2 consecutive appearances in the College World Series. And in fact, they finished 2nd to Arizona In 1976, he threw a couple of no-hitters in a perfect game during his time at Ipsy. And, of course, in 1990, won that Cy Young with a 27-6 record. That 27 wins, along with Steve Carlton, the most wins for anybody since Denny McClain's 31. Bob Welch dead at the age of 57 in Seal Beach, California. Results of an autopsy should be available as early as tomorrow. That is your sports wrap presented to you by Sporty Cuts. So here we are at 8:41. We got trash talking coming up, and the Verlander thing that I wanted to. This is the final thing I've got on JV tonight, and that is they actually assign baseball assigns a number to where they believe your lot in life is as a starter. Are you an ace? Are you a two? Are you a three or four or five? We all know that baseball kind of employs five starters. On the Tigers, let's say at the start of the season, you might have thought Verlander one, Scherzer two, Sanchez three, Porcello four, and Smiley five. Would you say that was pretty accurate, Rob?
I think that's accurate.
And you could have maybe floated a little with the Verlander-Scherzer thing, but I think most people kept to the idea that JV was the ace. Well, under the numbers that I just threw out there about his velocity, about this really disturbing walk rate that has climbed so high in the last 3 years, well, and the other numbers that have gone up and down depending.
You could see his control. And the other thing is...
Well, do you want to know where they assign his number right now?
What is it?
He's a number three starter bordering on a four.
I believe it. I believe, Mark, if you just watch him pitch, A, he doesn't strike people out. His line is always like...
That number's come down every year for the last four seasons.
It just keeps going. Three seasons. Always like, it's like three walks and two strikeouts. Justin, three walks and two strikeouts. Three in the old days, Mark, used to come at you and try to throw it by you. And now it's like always full. He's one and two on a guy. Breaking ball, curveball, ball four. I mean, it's just, you look at him pitch and you just say, this is Justin Verlander because he doesn't have any control. If he could throw those for strikes, Mark, he used to be able to throw them over for strikes. He can't do it. His control is what is, to me, the most concerning, even more so than the velocity. You got to have control. You can't, when you're Justin Verlander and you're pitching, Mark, 2-0 count, 3-1, what happens in the big leagues? You know this. You get hit.
I think since he really busted on the scene, not the two starts in 05, which I love bringing up because they were so terrible. 4th of July this year will be his ninth anniversary of the beginning of his career because he started in 05, right before the All-Star game at Comerica. And he was terrible, got lit up by the Indians. He brought that up on the thing. Did you notice that? On the hours he spent on ESPN the other night, on Sunday night.
He should have got an appearance.
He brought up his first performance.
He should have got an appearance fee. I mean, he was on really. He's getting a check.
In fact, they crossed off Tim Kirkchin's name. They just said it to Verlander. Was Kirkchin even there? I don't know. Was he there?
No, it was Buster.
Buster Olney, right. It was Buster Olney. Don't you know where Buster Olney is? I'll get a tweet. You should know where Buster Olney is.
What has he done? Can you tell me? Well,
I talked to Buster for about 15 minutes
Buster.
Before the game. Not that Buster.
Hey, boys.
Yeah, he said, hey, boys.
Is that what Olney said to you?
Yeah, I was like, no, not that Buster.
But amongst the things he talked about was that first major league debut in 05, which he doesn't bring up a whole lot because, you know, he kind of wants you to think that he started 06 and then won a rookie of the year, and it was, you know, here we go. It was off and running. Got to the World Series, and look how great I am. The reason I'm bringing this up is because since he did get here, as opposed to how terrible things went for Joel Zamaya, because their careers mirror each other, JV was kind of the, we talk about Grant Hill this way, he was kind of Mr. Perfect. Could do no wrong. He had the All-American boy looks. He was pretty friendly dude. He was great with the media. He signed the autographs. I told you, I used to see him at the mall. If you want to see your favorite Tigers, go on a Monday off day and go to Somerset. You'll see most of your favorite Tigers. Maglio was huge at the mall.
I remember, I can't remember what ballpark I was at. It was somewhere on the road, and his dad and mom were there. I want to say, I'm definitely his dad. And he recognized me and said, hey, how you doing? You know, whatever, I'm Justin's father or whatever.
It's a perfect family.
I thought that was very
nice.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
I mean, it wasn't a crowd of people. I wasn't impressed. I was just standing there waiting for a friend or something, and he saw me, and he just said, hey.
Rob, this is Justin Verlander's life. Little League, Pony League, Colt League, high school, American Legion. He goes to college. You know, he does his thing. He's Mr. Perfect. He gets drafted high. It doesn't take him long. He gets to the majors. He wins the Rookie of the Year. He wins Cy Young Awards. He wins an MVP. Everything's great. for the first time in his life, it ain't so great.
Pump of the road.
Right? You know, he's got the, he kind of, I call them diversions. He diverts a little with the Kate Upton thing. He diverts with being on ESPN all the time. He's got a little golfing thing going now. He played the Pebble Beach for the first time last year, and then this year, too. I mean, he's got these things now to divert himself a little bit from the first time that he's hit that speed bump, like you said. And the reason you have to talk about this almost, again, I use the phrase ad nauseum, is because the contract hasn't even kicked in yet. $28 million a year the next five. I won't even talk about the vested year. 5 years coming up at 28 large. Guaranteed. This ain't the NFL where you can cut them now.
You got an issue now, Dave Dombrowski? You got some problems?
I don't know. Do you think he does? And is there any... look, you're not going to fool other people. They see it too. We're talking about it. What are you going to do? You're not going to trade Justin Verlander.
And I think I got some tape. I heard... Mike Ilitch talking about the whole contract thing, and Dave saying to Mike, Mike, you got to pay Verlander $28 million next year.
Can't do it.
And he said, what do you mean you can't do it? You got to. This done, dude. This is baseball.
28 large. It's almost $150 million the next 5 years. Guaranteed cheese.
I told you. I said that Mike Ilitch.
Only in June of this contract.
You might have to raise the hot and ready prices. I mean, that's what else can do it. Well, Mike, I don't know how you can do it. $5.
Hey, get a nice, large, one-top pizza for just $192. Speaking of pizzas on Juneza. Well, okay, you know, I don't want to be sky ain't falling, I suppose, yet. But,
no.
Man, it's pretty. If you do the work and you look at, you know, if you do your prep work, like what's his name on Twitter said.
No, but Mark, I'll tell you that this is the thing that should also bother you. When you talk about the whole ace thing, he's not an ace. Every time during this whole three-week stretch where they've lost 16 of 21, three times, Verlander came up with the chance to be that stopper. We talked about
to
it.
To be an ace.
To be an ace. Mark, that's how you don't – good. You know why good teams don't have – long losing streaks because they have a guy like that who they can throw out every fifth day who's going to stop the losing streak at 3 or 4 because he pitches, gives you a chance to win. You don't have that in Justin Verlander anymore.
Can't do it.
Your people are expecting him to come out and just, what we always say, Mark, mix in a shutout once in a while, right?
Can't do it.
He can't do it.
Look, we've seen it in this town. I don't have to tell you who because it doesn't matter because every team goes through it. But the line that I see here about the lifespan, one thing that has always been true in baseball, doesn't matter who you be, the lifespan of an ace can be maddeningly short with a sheer drop to mortality always beckoning, and sometimes the cliff is even steeper. The names brought up were Josh Johnson and Tim Lincecum, and I'm just going to read that line again. Add another name to this list, Detroit Tiger and now former ace Justin Verlander. It almost sounds like a definitive line from a book that you would now read about his career or something.
The only reason that the guy is able to make that, this isn't a one-year bump in the road. It's 4 years of declining stats, Mark. That's a track record.
His number that has been assigned to him now because of the declining strikeout rate.
How about
rate?
A couple of years ago when he lost 17 games?
That was further back than you think.
No, what was the one where he had the bad? Was that just last year?
That was 13-12 last year.
13-12,
yeah.
Okay. So he was a winning record.
Mm-hmm. Everything I told you, all the numbers since he won the Cy Young that are good have come down bad. All the ones that are bad have gone
worse.
So, again, declining strikeout rate and velocity, part of that equation, puts Verlander at a 3-starter right now, bordering on a 4. It's not someone's opinion. That's the number they assigned using some of these various, you know, sabermetrics and numbers involved with pitchers. Not an ace, not even a 2. So if you were being critical, you'd say right now, technically, probably Scherzer should be your ace. Sanchez is your 2. Not that it matters now anyhow. Once after opening day's over, it doesn't matter at all because you're just mingled and mangled and scrambled all the time. But if you were going to reshuffle and reset, you would have Verlander at the 3 or maybe Porcello at the 3 and Verlander at the 4. It's not a 5, but that's the number. Don't shoot the messenger, man. But those are the kinds of things that you look at. And the thing on top, the cherry on top of that ice cream and cake is the fact that the contract hasn't kicked in yet. The extension is still waiting. Oh, it's amazing. It's fascinating to me. That's why I can't stop talking about it. The 28 mil starts next year. Okay.
That's
it's really something.
And all Verlander's going to say is cut the check.
That's
unbelievable.
It is. Cut the check.
And he's going to stand there. He'll stand there and take it. He'll do it like he did the other day. He'll say, oh, I'm working on some things with Jeff and my mechanics. And when guys start telling you that.
And it's no truth to the rumor that he's going to go to the bank and ask for him in all singles when he cashes.
Yeah, right.
Just to rub it in.
Tanya's Pizza. Class act, buddy. Tanya's Pizza in the house right now. It's tanyaspizza.com. They're in Royal Oak at Crooks and 13 Mile. You need to go there. They have this beautiful stuffed pizza that we've been enjoying tonight. It's Tanya's, T-A-N-I-A-S, well, apostrophe S, over 25 years of outstanding business at Crooks and 13 Mile. Again, it's tanyaspizza.com. I will enjoy some more. And we get ready for a little trash talking on Sports Night with Parker the Man. Detroit's 1130, WDFN the Fan.
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130, WDFN the Fan.
Sounds like EP's going to a Striper concert. Striper. I like it. No, Gary, come on. Pick it up. Where'd you go? What are you doing to me? Gets me motivated. Gets me pumped. We're just, again, going crazy over the Tanya's Pizza. I mean, yeah. Rob just can't stop talking about it.
I was telling Gary.
You've had really
earlier.
Good luck the last 2 weeks. It's been just fantastic.
Very, very good. All right, our telephone number is 248-848-1130. It is Sports Night with Parker and the Man on a Trash Talking Twitter Tuesday here on WDFN.
Use the hashtag TTTT, four
That's
T's.
Right. 11:30 a.m., the 20th anniversary of this very glorious station.
How did we get to 8:57 without mentioning the historic night for El Chiz last night? Lonnie Chisenhall, who did something never before done in the history of the game. The game has been around a long time. There have been a lot of good guys with a lot of numbers. And what Lonnie Chisenhall did last night had never been done. You say, well, how can that be? I mean, it wasn't that great, was it? Here's the deal. He went 5 for 5. He had 3 home runs. And he drove in 9. This is how it breaks down. It's the first combination of those numbers since the RBI became a stat in 1920.
Wow.
There had never been a person to go 5 for 5 with 3 homers and 9 ribbies since the RBI became a number. Officially, 94 years ago. Only 4 major leaguers. Someone said, well, wait a second. What are these 4 guys who've done that? I said, no. There have been 4 major leaguers with at least 5 hits, 3 homers, 9 ribbies. Now, a guy could have gone 5 for 6 or 6 for 7, but not 5 for 5. And the last guy to even get at least 5 hits, at least 3 homers, and at least 9 ribbies in a game was Freddie Lynn back in 1975.
Freddie Lynn,
who would become a Tiger 13 years later in the late 80s. Indians beat Texas 17-7. El Chiz is now hitting .385. He does not yet have enough at-bats to qualify as the batting leader, but he's getting closer. And, of course, Cleveland is only 2 back of the Tigers. They're playing tonight. Could be a game and a half back when the Tigers play the White Sox tomorrow. Game and a half the Indians could be when we wake up on Wednesday.
Don't forget, they got to go to Cleveland. They're going to Cleveland pretty soon, too.
Yes, they is.
Because they come back home, right, and face the Twins and Royals, and then they finish up the stretch.
Yeah, it's all AL Central.
Right, 14 straight games, and then they finish up with 3, again, Mark, in Cleveland.
So Lonnie Chisenhall, give it up to the Indian for doing that. Thank you. Give it up to the Indian. You know, tonight's the night of the commercial, right? They're doing the promo tonight. The anti-Redskins promo during the basketball game.
Really?
They're running an anti-Redskins promo on television during the Heat-Spurs game tonight.
That's starting to turn up the heat now. They're spending money
That's
now.
The whole point of
the
piece.
Whole thing.
They still think there's enough people who aren't, like, with the program that need to see something like that to go, hey, you're right.
Why is it still going on?
Yeah, we need to stop the Redskins thing.
And you know what, Mark? It's a good thing as we go into the 9 o'clock hour. I'm still surprised at how many people still are bothered by even the attempt of it. there are a lot of people who still say, oh, it's just tradition. It's just a team name. We should just leave it as is. I don't even understand
why. That should never be the reason to do anything.
Because it used to be like that, right?
Should never, ever. Now, if in the final analysis it works out that way, good for you. But that should never be a reason to categorically, systematically say we can't do something.
Right. That whole notion that's the way it's always been. There's a lot of things that were.
Hey, black players since 47.
Couldn't play. That was the rule, right?
Let's just keep that going.
Exactly. We've always played that way.
Hey, Brandon Schricke, what are you doing?
Right.
Why bother? We're never going to change that rule.
See, if you bring that up, people go, oh, well, it's not the same thing. Yes. It was some rule. You had this name. You changed it. And the thing that drives me crazy the most, Mark, is in that very same city, the Washington Bullets changed to the Washington, and nobody died. You know what everybody did, Mark? They went out and bought new jerseys. And it was all over. Did anybody have a heart attack and say, oh, my God.
No, but they tend to.
Before you laugh, the Bullets won championships, Mark.
They won one.
Okay, they won. Don't act like they never won.
Wizards have won zero. Bullets won zero nothing. Wizards nothing in the 70s. And I know you didn't notice because it was the late 70s when the NBA was about. In fact, Washington, Seattle was kind of the reason why the NBA was about to fold. That was back-to-back years when they played each other in the finals. You can see on your late local news on tape delay.
That's right. And
basketball.
Turn down the sound if you don't want to hear.
9 o'clock hour. We do some trashing coming up. We got a sports rap coming up.
And I'm just curious. Has anybody? Hopefully, if they see this ad, you think this is?
We go march on Washington.
I'm gonna tell you, Mark. I think he's gonna cave. I think he's gonna cave.
Snyder.
Yep.
I don't know. Dan Snyder's one of these Sterling guys, dude.
But it hasn't gone away, Mark.
He's a Sterling kind of guy. I don't mean it like that, Dan Snyder. I don't mean you're racist. I just mean you're setting your ways.
Hasn't gone away, though. He's made all this stuff. Remember, they put
I apologize to Dan Snyder. I should never use that as a thing, no.
They put something on Twitter trying to gain support for the Redskins. And then it backfired on them. People started trashing them that they still have a racist logo. So then they pulled it off.
248-848-1130. Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
You are listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man, Detroit's number one late, live, local sports show.
What's so good?